Sexy people, it's Dave, it's Duncan, back from Metal Epidemic for another album review. For this review, Duncan and I have been checking out the new release from Leipzig hardcore band Gift.
Not where I thought they were from.
Dare I ask?
America! America! Oh, fuck really? Yeah!
Interesting.
It'll all make sense in a minute. But I throw my empty can of beer about the fucking
America.
It'll all make sense in a minute.
Empty beer cans.
So, Leipzig.
Yes.
Yeah, that's not in America.
That is not. It's quite far away from America, Duncan. The band's new album, Ruptures, will be released on May 3rd via This Charming Man Records.
Oh, you drop a little bit of Smiths in there and my nipples get hard. Although Morrissey can eat my dick. A bit of a prick.
Dave
does not want to come off this fence. Come on, you can see Morrissey's a cunt.
Is he?
He's not a nice guy, dude.
Is he no?
No. Abusive to people for no reason.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Well, great singer. Take nothing away from the vocals. Yeah. Love the vocals, but a bit of a dick.
I don't know much about him. I mean, I know all the Smiths and I quite like the Smiths, but I don't know much about him.
We'll do this offline.
Okay, let's do that. Sounds like a good idea.
I'll take an action point for another meeting.
So, the debut album from Gift, a German hardcore band featuring members of Throwers, Eves, Glasses, Trainwreck, Callous, and Antes. Gift are deeply rooted in the Leipzig vibrant heavy music scene. The four piece were formed in 2020. And immediately were forced to take a break just when things were about to take off. What happened in 2020?
Something happened in 2020.
Weird. Wonder why they took a break.
I get a feeling. I get a feeling our grandkids are going to be like, tell us what it was like during 2020, Grandpa. They're like, oh, the world was fucked. I had to stay at home, did a power of shagging.
And reviewing.
And review. I'll tell you, that was when the metal epidemic started. Little Sonny Jim.
The band made its first live appearance in late 2022.
And right, they didn't have put on hold.
Then entered the studio in early 2023 to start work on Ruptures.
Cool.
Album was recorded by Alex Mann at Haunting House in Germany. That's Haunting House, not The Haunting House. And then
good differentiation, Dave.
And then mixed and mastered by Jack Shirley at Atomic
Garden.
Oh,
man.
Or Man Jack. A wee debut. Another release on This Charming Man, who are quickly becoming one of a few labels that are putting out some killer releases in 2024, Duncan.
Mm-hmm.
We spoke about Park and Riot earlier this year, which if you haven't heard it, is awesome. Go and check it out, also on This Charming Man Records. However, we're here to chat about Gift on This Charming Man Records. Duncan, what did you think about Ruptures?
Right, so I thought they were American.
Okay.
Clearly was wrong. I'll tell you for why, right?
Tell me why.
The vocalist here reminds me of the savage tones, the angrier tones of was it Chad Hancock from American Head Charge?
Yes.
It's what he sounds like.
Oh.
I'm someone that listens to still in 2024, happy to say, still listen to an obscene amount of American Head Charge. I fucking love that band, right? One of the reasons I love them is vocally, I think they were one of the best bands of that ilk.
Yeah.
They had the melody, that's not on here, but they had the melody, but they had that kind of savage, just really percussive, very brutal, very fucking heavy, aggressive metal tone.
Mm-hmm.
Gift have that in spades. Like, vocally, this album is downright fucking mean. These vocals sound like they're gonna ask you for your lunch money and you better cough it up or you're gonna spend a bit of time with your head in the toilet. They really bully the album in the best possible way.
Mm.
And they're just so forceful and so full of presence, which it doesn't... And, like, musically, the band don't always go for the heaviest riff. They'll go somewhere else.
Yeah.
But those vocals are the anchor point to everything. Even when the band are going off and going, let's try something different, it's still going to sound like it's going to beat you up.
Yeah.
And that's down to the vocals. I fucking love them. Mm. Musically here, this is really interesting because it has big old swaths of hardcore in here for sure. Like metalcore, but without the American metalcore sound. Like that kind of European metalcore is certainly kind of spiced through here.
Yeah.
But what they are not lacking at any point is just a concentration on building layers. Like there are sections on this one here where they will happily... It's like on track two, for example, Spearfeeding, where they will just play feedback on their guitars, like to feedback with a drum beat underneath it and him just screaming. Mm. And I love that about them because it sounds volatile, it sounds fucking raw, and it sounds from the source.
Yeah.
There's no messing around here. Even like a track which I would argue is a filler track on this one. I would almost argue that it's Needless as well, Signals, which is track six, which is basically noise. It's like noise and clips and all the rest, which on a 30-minute album, probably not needed. I enjoyed because comes between Deadly Dancers, which is a fucking banger of a track, right? Mm-hmm. Just like straight up banger. With just like a big old fucking savage groove, and Harbinger that comes after it.
Yeah.
And Harbinger kind of picks up where Deadly Dancers finishes off with another kind of bow, do, do, do sort of riff.
Yep.
And you get this thing in between that almost like you're listening to a radio and you're trying to tune in. I'll just switch over and you're like getting all this weird static and then you tune back and the band are still like on the seventh rendition of this riff.
Yeah.
It's fucking great. Absolutely brilliant. So I enjoyed that. My greatest like issues with this overall, and it's a tiny issue, is I don't understand why on a 30-minute album there's two tracks that kind of feel like filler. And from the positions, they do break the album up.
Mm-hmm.
The first one is F-R-E-D, which must mean something to me. It was just Fred. Which is this... It comes right after The Plight, which is track three. It's track four on the album. And it's essentially like a computer voice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like just reiterating like commands. And talking about like the world, artificial intelligence, consciousness, and all the rest. And it's really fucking cool. Why it's not the intro to a track is kind of confusing me. Like, why it's his own track? Possibly because the band know that people might want to skip that and get right into Deadly Dancers. Maybe. But you have that, and then a mere two tracks later, a mere track later, you have almost 3 minutes of noise.
Mm.
Before the next song kind of feels like I'm missing an element, a conceptual piece to the puzzle here as to why they're both in here, placed where they are. Because I kind of feel like you get those first three songs and I'm like fucking into it, and then Fred kind of drags me out a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then Deadly Dancers kicks and I'm like fucking yes, and then Signals and I'm kind of back down a little bit. And then the back three songs, Harbinger, Black Damp, which is a great name for the song, and Thoroughbred, just crush this album into submission. They pound it into fucking sand by the end with its heaviness. That I'm just a little bit confused, especially in a debut. Why? So I didn't know it was a debut because I don't read the notes. It's kind of made me pick it out a little bit more than maybe I was going to. I don't understand the need for it. I don't know what it necessarily adds. It doesn't take away my enjoyment overall. I just think it's an artistic choice that's a bit of a head-scratcher. Musically here, though, it's fucking awesome. The riffs are weighty. They're fucking huge sounding. There's lots of bends. There's lots of breakdowns. There's a lot of just, like, good old-fashioned hardcore, like, beatdown moments on here. There's hints of, like, bands like Cancer Bats and Every Time I Die in the slower grooves without, like, the kind of, like, pace ferocity of them. And I actually like that because there's a part of me that imagines a world where there's an Every Time I Die album that's just the breakdowns and how great that would fucking be. And that's kind of what Gift are giving you, the gift of that sound in an album. They sound a lot more accomplished in one album. And I'm even more shocked that their shelf life, notwithstanding time they had to break up for COVID, is realistically a couple of years. Yeah. Doesn't surprise me that they've played in a ton of other bands, though, because it like, and you can hear they're really measured in what they do. So yeah, my only big gripe on this one is I think there's two kind of filler tracks in here that are confusingly placed very close together. And if Deadly Dancers was like a 8-minute track with sprawling like songwriting, I could understand that, but Deadly Dancers is not any more remarkable than anything else on here, so kind of sandwiching it between those tracks feels a bit weird.
Yeah.
Production is fucking mint. Absolutely love the production in this one. It's perfect. It's weighty.
Yeah.
Like you feel if your iPod or whatever devices exist out there was playing this and this was in your pocket, you kind of feel like you were walking slightly off to the side. That's how heavy the production is.
Mm.
So heavy that it will make your device feel heavier. You fall in a canal listening to this album, drown, Dave.
Dead.
That's how heavy it is. Mm. So yeah, like excited to have these guys on the radar. We'll look with great keen enthusiasm as to where they go, but they've already got a fucking great bass. Hard not to like this sort of music.
Yeah.
Like, doesn't really do much wrong in any way, shape, or form in the songwriting. Like I say, my only issues, if we can call them issues, are two filler tracks that might have well just been one.
Mm.
How did you get on?
Yeah, I mean, like, this is hardcore. So for a start, like,
yes, this is the year of hardcore, isn't it?
We're good. Like, we're all good here. Dave's
still
happy.
That.
Like, I'm happy.
German hardcore as well. Which
German,
like,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah, this is. Yeah, it's hardcore, but not the nice upbeat hardcore.
Not for my friends, for my family.
No.
For the community.
Not at all. No.
For the orphanage. For the puppy shelter. No.
No.
All right.
This is German hardcore. This is.
I was going to say something else, but I'm going to mute myself.
This is. It's hardcore, but it's, for me, it had this kind of like sludgy, kind of bleak undertone to it.
Yes.
It's quite angular at times, which reminded me of a band called Ken Mode.
Mm.
But there's also a kind of girthy, kind of gut punch to it, which calls up bands like Botch or even like Dead Guy as well. They also have like, it doesn't happen very often, but there's a wee touch of the Southern. Every now and again, you'll go, oh, hold on, a wee riff that just has a wee twang to it. And you're like, all right, that's almost taking me back to like early Every Time I Die. Just for a second, and then it disappears again. So it's a really cool like cocktail of sounds on this one. And like for me as a hardcore fan, it was mainly music to my ears, to be honest, quite literally. It's not an album filled with catchy moments. So it took me 2 or 3 listens to kind of fully just digest it all.
Mm-hmm.
Even though like the album was fairly short, under 30 minutes. But I kind of dug how direct it was. Like, there's no airs and graces with this album. They know exactly what type of band they are. And for a debut album, it's very confident in its own skin.
Oh, yeah.
It never feels like they are unsure of anything they've added into this album. The styles and the ideas feel very, like, self-assured. And I think that's, like you said, where the kind of previous experience comes in. Having spent time with those other bands before starting this project has probably paid off big time, because they have the experience to know what works and how to deliver it as it's, you know, how it should be intended. Compositionally, they made sure that the album hits all the kind of right beats. There's tracks here where they emphasize the groove, really let you feel like the power that they possess. That opener is just like full of fucking snarl and force.
Yeah.
The bass tone, though, fuck Jesus Christ. Love the bass tone. One
four
of my favorite things.
You said as well.
Yeah, I'm sure it's four
fuck's
piece.
Fuck's sake, man.
But yeah, I love the tone they've captured in the bass on the album is just so filthy. But still plenty of clarity in it as well. There's then tracks where they do get a bit more kind of adventurous rhythmically and with their timing. Like on The Plight, which did reminded me heavily of Ken Mode. The kind of more like kind of minor chords and the really kind of noisy lead work they use really like just adds to the whole bleakness of it. The pacing's really good. I really liked Fred, the track four.
It's a cool concept, and I like the idea. I like how it breaks things up.
I think for me, like when I heard it, I instantly felt like I was transported back to listening to Jennifer by Pig Destroyer, because it's pretty much the same voice. It's like the same voice, and I was like, oh, yeah, Jennifer. And then it kicks into Deadly Dancers, which I was like, yeah, this is super cool. And I think Fred was a good, it was kind of like an intermission, basically, yeah, of like samples and noises, but it gives you like that 90 seconds to like catch your breath before they slam back into action on Deadly Dancers, which I think kind of embraces a more kind of slightly doomier kind of tone.
100%.
Bit of a slower groove. I agree with you, Signals felt a little bit strange in its placement. Coming so soon after Fred, like just having that one track between the two, felt a little bit odd.
You can't skip it because Harbinger starts off at a very similar pace to Deadly Dancers.
It does, yes. And it grabs your attention like instantly.
It's a fucking great song. Like, Harbinger's is kind of has a hint of Willhaven, like 2000s era Willhaven.
Yep.
In a really smart way, but it does. You kind of need that breaking point. I just don't know if that breaking point needs to be almost 3 minutes.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I loved Harbinger. I thought it was a great track. I loved the how like kind of heavy and kind of sludgy it was, but like the little kind of like tails on the riffs had this kind of like stonery kind of, they almost kind of harmonized on certain notes. I thought was really cool.
Vocals do the kind of Keith from Every Time I Die as well.
Yeah.
Like from like Hot Damn. Oh, like you get those notes and you're like, oh man, more of that. And then he juxtaposes it with just that fucking tone he has.
Mm.
Which to me means that they've got more under the hood they're not giving us, which is kind of exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. I really enjoyed that. I loved how kind of light and dark it was at the same time. Like it's supremely heavy, but like those little kind of ends of the riffs were like, well, this is like there's a gleam of like cheeriness in those little riffs
like
there,
but not just for
a
long.
Tiny wee bit, yeah. Doesn't last long though, because the track does just kind of like descend into a much darker place and gets way heavier as it goes on. I have to agree. I think vocally, it's fucking awesome. Like this, the guy's tone is killer, and he sounds like he's just every scream on the album. He is just putting everything into it. It's not crazy like in terms of how varied it is in pitch or in style, but for like that kind of sludgy kind of hardcore sound, it's exactly the level of
man, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's really, really, really good. I think a guy that knows exactly what his range is, I would be very surprised if you spoke to him and he said this was difficult for him. I just think this is the pocket tone he has, which is fucking great.
Visceral. The only exception to that is track 8, which is Black Damp, where there's some clean vocals in it, and I was like, whoa, where did that come from? Had this like, I kind of went into almost like kind of noise rock kind of territory, but I thought
it's kind of Queens of the Stone Age a little bit in a nice way.
Yeah. I thought it was a great addition though to the album, just giving you something with an almost like a little bit of a hook when you're like, all right, okay, but they're still delivering heavily like on delivering massively on the heavy stuff. And then the end on Thoroughbred, which kind of closes like the album started, just full of anger, full of savagery, and has one of the longest screams I've heard in a while.
Dude, man.
I actually timed it. I was like, right, I need to time. How long is this guy actually
screaming? How long is it?
It's just over 20 seconds.
Fucking hell, man.
And he holds it. He just holds it there. And it's like,
I think at my best, without fuckery, I think I could hold a scream for what I think it was like 15-16 seconds, like at my best, when I was at my leanest, fucking meanest, and at over 10 seconds I started to feel like my throat was going to tear apart. And it sounds comfortable here.
When I say 20 seconds, that doesn't sound very long. You're like, 20 seconds? Try screaming for 20 seconds.
Like, trust me, like...
Not easy.
Just try holding a note for 20 seconds. Without putting effort behind it, try holding a note for 20 seconds.
Unbelievable. And he holds it right over the top of this kind of like building guitar part and drums, which kind of just build up and erupt into a big groove.
He stops, and then when he stops, it all fucking breaks down.
Yeah,
it's just
absolutely
fucking amazing, man.
It's the longest track on the album, marginally, so it's it kind of lets the band just flesh out their sound and not leave anything kind of unsaid on the album. Thoroughbred feels like the full stop on the album to me.
Yeah.
I think these guys are definitely ones to watch. There's a confidence about them that kind of excites me, considering this is album one and they already know exactly what they want to do. But there's also enough kind of playfulness in their sound that it could lead them on to exploring new things as well on the next release. I'd love to hear them expand more, even a bit more on the clean vocal side of things. I think that they sounded great on that track, so they could also, you know, use those maybe two or three times on the album. But I also love just how downright savage they are on this one, so I'd love to hear them do more of that in the next one as well. Production is absolutely on point. I think the rawer side, I think leaning on the rawer side of things definitely gives it that more authentic feel. There's nothing polished or like over processed here. It's got that like kind of sandpaper rub to it, which I think suits it down to the ground. And you know, you can hear they've left in all those little bits of feedback and, you know, glitches and hisses and all that sort of stuff is still in there. So it's got that kind of live kind of atmosphere to it, which I absolutely love. Really excited to hear what these guys do next. What we're thinking scores wise, what's your score for Ruptures?
I'm coming in at a strong 4 on this one. I think this has got like huge potential. Like I say, I question the need and the placement of a track here. However, I do understand why it's splitting up the two songs it is, because if you don't have that song in there, the two songs do start off at a very similar pace and a very similar tone. Yeah. But I question the need for it being as long as it is. Notwithstanding that, a personal choice overall here. This is like fucking super strong. And these are like a band that I'm genuinely excited to see where we go. I think with all the things they tease on this one but don't deliver on, we can expect like greatness on the next album. Yeah. I'm giving myself a little bit of room to maneuver on album number 2, so I'm coming in at a 4.
Nice. Yeah, I'd agree. I'd go 4 on this one as well. Very excited to hear what they do next. The fact they started in 2020, they've had a couple of years to kind of like, you know, just kind of find their sound and get things together before they actually recorded, I think it's made a big difference. So I'm hoping, you know, like those 2 years where they were writing, that they've written a whole lot more and it's not going to be too much longer before we hear them do something else. Really excited to hear where this band go next. Gift and Ruptures is out on May 3rd on This Charming Man Records. Links below to the band, to the pre-order, all that sort of stuff. Check it out, have a listen, see what you think. That is our review. Thanks for checking out. We'll be back with another review very soon, but until then, take care. Speak to you soon.
Bye, everyone. 'Cause I'm